Good morning and happy Father's Day. Hope yours is off to a good start. It's just after 8 o'clock and you are listening to Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. This is the flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights. And by the way, I'm Brian Feldman. If you're listening for the first time, this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday, including Father's Day, at this same time in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio in Las Vegas. Also in studio, as always, is producer Golden Knights radio locker room correspondent and a proud father about to take his son on his first trip to the Far East, Chris Magnum Chapman. Yeah, he's here. Also, want to wish a happy Father's Day to Jose Sudden Death, What's on Tap Volante. He is celebrating Father's Day with his family in Tijuana. And Jose is probably, at this time of the morning on a Sunday, I'm going to guess three Modelos deep. What do you think, Mags? Three Modelos deep? Yeah, you agree, right? Okay, good. Listen, you can also catch the show streaming on the LV Sports Network, and you can watch the show on Facebook Live. The page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. The show is also live, as I have mentioned, so your calls are welcome. The Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
The number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
We're very confident that we have a compelling situation for him here.
The Pelicans have agreed to finally trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers.
Suddenly, the Lakers are a legitimate contender.
Vegas knew this was probably going to happen. That's why the Lakers opened as 4-1 before the trade was made. They knew this was likely going to occur. But once it did occur, the odds improved to 7-2 to win the 2020 NBA title.
Now, we beat Boston in the seventh game in Boston, and we won the Stanley Cup. Remember that.
Yeah, what's on tap comes your way thanks to our title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for up. Hold on a second here. Getting to that. That's just a computer making noise, Mags. That's all. It happens. By the way, Cardinal Financial Company, again, the first and only choice when looking for financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com. On tap is going to be starting off with, AD is a Laker. I think a lot of people know what that is and how that happened. And I'm still a little bit shocked. I had a feeling that was going to happen, but not for what it cost the Lakers. We'll talk about that. And the North and the Blues are both champions for the first time ever. Kind of cool. Alan Snell, the man behind LVSportsBiz.com, will be joining. And we'll talk a little Aviators, Aces, a heavyweight championship fight, and, of course, the 119th U.S. Open taking place at Pebble Beach. They're probably teeing off right now. At least the earlier tee times are going now. Listen, what's on tap comes your way thanks to the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice. When looking for answers about home financing, check out CardinalFinancial.com. And Mags, I'll tell you right now, crazy, but we got to hear fact this because it is time. Oh, fact this? You don't have it?
It's here, yeah. It's there.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
I can take my ass back to bed, but it is a fact. A trade will be official by the end of July that will send Anthony Davis to the Los Angeles Lakers for Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and three first-round draft picks, including the fourth pick in the NBA draft this year. And the Pelicans, by the way, also won the lottery and have the first pick, which means Zion will be a Pelican along with Ball and Ingram and Holiday, Okafor. I mean, that team is pretty stacked. And, they don't have a superstar like an Anthony Davis, but Zion Williamson, a lot of people think, is going to be a superstar in the NBA. And when you look at how they're set up, I am amazed. The bottom line is this was not a genie bus move. This was not a Rob Pelinka move. I'll make no mistake about it. This was a LeBron James move. And, you know, Magic Johnson, I don't know, Chris, if he was sarcastically or facetiously tweeting out what he did about Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka, but we all know that LeBron James made this call.
Yeah, and, you know, it just continues to – here's the thing. LeBron's legacy is going to be what it is, and his legacy will always be that he was a guy who needed other superstars around him to win.
Who hasn't, though? Jordan?
No, well, yeah, but here's the thing. Jordan wasn't forcing guys in and out to make the Bulls better.
He just let it happen.
Yeah.
I agree.
And, you know, I think Scottie Pippen became a superstar because of Michael Jordan.
Absolutely.
Horace Grant became a good player because of Michael Jordan.
B.J. Armstrong, probably a better player because of Michael Jordan.
Demanded that his players around him get better. He didn't demand that Jerry Reinsdorf and the Chicago Bulls brought in superstar players. Yeah, they brought in Dennis Rodman. They went out and they signed Tony Kukoc. But those were good players. They weren't superstar elite players. LeBron's legacy will always be a fantastic, great player who could not make other people around him better. He needed great players around him.
A supporting cast.
Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. You know, everyone forgets Bosh because he had unfortunately suffered that heart issue and kind of ended his career. But Chris Bosh was an all-star in Toronto. Now, Chris Bosh was an elite player. Obviously, Dwayne Wade, one of the greatest players to ever play the game. This is a LeBron James move, and to be honest with you, I'm not sure how it turns out, because if Anthony Davis turns into Kevin Love, and I'm trying to think who else they brought in on Cleveland the year that they were really, really good, but
well, it was only Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love
standing around watching LeBron. You know, that's the thing. Anthony Davis is a guy who needs the ball.
Chris, I'm going to say this right now. Anthony Davis might lead this team in scoring. It'll be the first time in LeBron James' career that he hasn't led a team he's played for in scoring. Anthony Davis has the ability to do that.
Well, and the thing is, I think they need someone else.
Well, they definitely need someone else. That's what I want to talk about with you, because put it this way, right now under contract, and Anthony Davis won't be there. And for those of you that think he's going to be, the July 6th is the first day they can actually announce the trade or make it official. They won't do it July 6th. I mean, if they do, they benefit the Pelicans tremendously, and it hurts the Lakers. It counts about $5 million against their salary cap. Now, if they wait till the 30th of July, they don't have to count that extra $5 million against their salary cap. But Is Anthony Davis going to be willing to waive that to help his team out and give them more moves? Maybe. I mean, it's a lot of money. The guy's already slated to make $27.1 million next year.
Well, you have to look at it this way. He's in Los Angeles. I think he'll be able to make the $5 million back in endorsements.
I agree 100%.
So I think if you're the Lakers, that's what you have to convince him. Hey, look, we can go out and bring in another player to help this thing. And really what it boils down to is how bad does Anthony Davis want to win?
Well, I think Anthony Davis wants to win. Anthony Davis really enjoys the game of basketball. He likes being a superstar. And I'll tell you, Chris, there's so much upside to Anthony Davis. When do you see a big man, a guy that plays the five? And I'll tell you right now, he may be the best five in the NBA because he's a true five. But a five that can also bring the ball up the floor, he can penetrate. You know what one of his specialty is, too, is catching and shooting from the three-point line. He's like 38%, which the Lakers were last in the league at catch and shoot from beyond the arc, and Anthony Davis is going to immediately change that aspect of the Lakers' all-around game and presence. I like him a lot, and I think there is such a tremendous upside. I think he will be able to play and coexist with LeBron. The question is, who are they going to bring in to play guard now? Now you've really got to focus. You just gave up everyone you had playing the guard position.
Yeah, and here's the thing. New Orleans clearly got a lot for Anthony Davis.
Oh, David Griffin right now would be blazing, in my opinion. He should be blazing. That guy's incredible.
The thing is, I feel like, you know, I hate to say it, but maybe there was something about the Lakers getting that fourth pick, right? Like, almost like everyone always talks about the draft, the lottery, it's fixed. And you could see it as soon as the Lakers got that fourth pick all over Twitter about, once again, The mystery of the draft lottery strikes again. The Lakers somehow get the fourth pick. You knew.
People were saying they'd get the first pick. I knew that wasn't going to happen.
You knew as soon as they got the fourth pick that this trade was going to happen. Because Anthony Davis wanted out of New Orleans, despite the fact that he was going to be able to play with Zion Williamson. Look, if you're the Pelicans, you got what you could have gotten for Anthony Davis.
Oh, my God.
And
you know, in all honesty, and I'll say this right now, but again, I mentioned David Griffin, the general manager of the New Orleans, new head of basketball operations. In my opinion, Chris, he just put on a clinic of how to trade an NBA All-Star. You couldn't do it any better. Well, I mean, aside from three NBA players with experience, he already has the number one pick in the draft, as we mentioned, and he's getting the fourth pick. I mean, how much better could he have done
than
that?
Well, he's also getting Brandon Ingram, who was a lottery pick.
That's what I'm saying. Lonzo Ball was a lottery pick.
And look, the jury is obviously still out on Lonzo Ball, whether or not he belongs in the league or not. But I think Lonzo Ball will get better. The Pelicans are going to build something special, I think, when they move to Las Vegas. They're going to have a lot of good young talent. We'll see how it materializes, whether or not. I mean, think about it. If I don't know who's going to go fourth. I mean, the ultimate loser in all this is the Knicks, because you have the Kevin Durant injury.
Yeah.
So the Knicks are probably not going to go out and sign him.
I'll tell you right now, you know what I think is going to happen? I just want to throw this in there. I think, you know, Atlanta, I believe, has the 8th and the 10th pick in the draft. Correct me if I'm wrong. I have a feeling that New Orleans is going to trade that 4th pick and pick up two more first-round draft picks, because I can't remember who it is, but there's somebody Atlanta really wants that is down there that they know won't last until them.
Atlanta has the 8th and the 10th pick.
The
10th from Dallas.
Yes. So how about New Orleans structuring that deal? You've already got number one. Why not dump the 4th pick and get two more first-round draft picks and really start sculpturing a team? And I just got a feeling. Remember, I'm telling you that. I got a feeling that somehow New Orleans is going to trade that 4th pick to the Atlanta Hawks for 8 and 10, and I think it's a great move. It would be more brilliant, and again, the stock on David Griffin before they even really take the court is just going through the roof.
Well, and the thing is, there really is no clear-cut four, right? Like, the top three are going to be Zion, Ja Morant, and RJ Barrett.
Without question.
After that, the questions start. You know, you have DeAndre Hunter, Jarrett Culver, Kobe White from North Carolina. Yeah. Jackson Hayes. So there's some. The thing is, there's no real Euros that seem to be in the mix for their top 10, top 5 pick. But it's like, if you're New Orleans, is there really a clear cut 4?
No.
You know, obviously, you're going to get Zion. But if there is a possibility to trade down and get that 8th and 10th pick for the 4th, I mean, you do it, right? You absolutely pull the trigger on that. But I just don't know if after three, there's really anyone who stands out. I mean, Hunter's good. I don't know if he's a game changer or an elite player. I don't feel the same about Culver. Kobe White, Darius Garland, I don't really feel like those guys are game changers either.
Well, you just don't know. Those guys are all the kind of guys where there's going to be question marks. They definitely seem to have an NBA talent. But how good is that talent? Is it a talent that warrants a 4th or 5th pick in the NBA draft? Who the hell knows? I mean, there's no question that Ja Morant and, I believe, Zion Williamson are going to be stars in the NBA.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I mean, you know, you can definitely make the case for Barrett as well. This guy has all-star potential as well in the NBA. But beyond that, I'm starting to scratch my head. Like you said, who do you take? Wouldn't you be better off shipping that 4th pick to the Atlanta Hawks and taking two guys in place of one? Because you might be getting two better players. You just don't know.
Well,
you don't know.
That's the thing. For New Orleans, I feel like the 4th pick in this draft was always overvalued. Because there really isn't a clear-cut 4th guy. It's not like there's 5 players that everyone feels are going to be superstars in the league. There's 2, maybe 3.
And you're throwing darts.
And then you're just taking a guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're basically out of body of work. There's, you know, you look for certain different talent levels. But Chris, aside from the Pelicans, which I think are going to be fine down the road, because again, I really like their general manager. When you've got a general manager that's very proactive and obviously savvy as hell, he was going to max the value of Anthony Davis, and he absolutely did. There's no way you're getting any more. to me, three first-round draft picks was enough, and he got tossed in some players that could end up materializing into decent NBA players. But how about the Lakers, Chris? They've got four guys under contract right now. You've got LeBron James, you got Mo Wagner from Michigan, you've got Kyle Kuzma, and you got Isaac Bonga. That's it.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've got to immediately start putting a team together. You've got about $32.5 million in cap space. More than that once you move out the other three guys' cap. So you're going to have more around $50 million in cap space. That's going to allow you to bring in Davis, and then you got to start nickel and diming. And not, you can't nickel and dime if you're looking at a guy like Kyrie Irving, which I think is a pipe dream.
That's I don't think that happens.
It doesn't happen, because here's the bottom line. A horse doesn't change his colors. The Wizard of Oz is fictional, man. There's no such thing as a horse. So when a guy acts a certain way, him and LeBron didn't get along. They might get along on opposite teams. They're not going to get along on the same team. You'd have the same problem that materialized in Cleveland, in my opinion. Then you look at a guy like Kemba Walker, who I think could be a very good fit. And I know he's somebody the Lakers are taking a strong look at right now. He's going to be available. He's going to command a lot of money in free agency, but they're going to have the room to get a Kemba Walker. And the other guy, I would say Kemba Walker to me is number one right now, who the Lakers are looking at. We've all heard that. And the other guy, Mags, who I think could work out, I think Jimmy Butler's going to have some issues re-signing in Philly, and he could be available. And I would say he's a distant second, in my opinion, even in front of Kyrie Irving, as far as a guy that's going to fit in and go to the Lakers. Those are my two picks that they're going to grab for the point guard position.
Well, Jimmy Walker has a...
Kemba Walker.
No, Jimmy Butler has a he has a reputation for being a not a good guy in the locker room.
Yeah, hothead.
So,
but Chris, one of the best perimeter defenders in the game.
Yeah, I don't think Jimmy Butler happens to the Lakers. I think Jimmy Butler will stay in the East, maybe with the Sixers, maybe go somewhere else. You know what? The Knicks could be in play for Jimmy Butler, because they need to do stuff. The Knicks. I don't think Kemba Walker. I think Kemba Walker is going to stay in Charlotte. He said that that's his priority. He says he's willing to take less money to stay in Charlotte so they could bring in other guys. That's a wait and see, though. Because I think I think Kemba Walker, if I'm him, I'm telling management at Charlotte, you want me to re-sign? You prove to me that you're committed to winning.
Absolutely.
You go out and bring someone in, then I'll take less money. Because you went and signed somebody.
I think Kemba Walker is going to be in L.A. I do. And another guy that I think in L.A., another fit for L.A., when you look at shooting guards, which they're going to have to start looking at as well, how about a guy like Terrence Ross of Orlando?
Yeah.
I think he's a really good fit. He's a free agent. He's only going to cost him about $12 million against the salary cap. I think that is a really good fit. And this guy is a player. He can play the game. And the reason that Orlando has been an improved team, also a guy like, what about a guy like J.J. Redick from the Sixers as a shooting guard?
Yeah.
He's going to be available, Chris, and again, he's what, 10, 12 million against the cap?
Well, yeah, J.J. Redick, he would excel playing with a guy like LeBron, because he'd probably have a lot of open looks.
How about Danny Green?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options.
He had that one terrible pass at the end of the game, but still, Danny Green really showed his wares in the NBA Finals. I thought he played great basketball.
Well, you know, and now that the NBA Finals are over, silly season starts, right?
Yeah.
Because all the rumors are going to be around until guys sign. We've only got about 2 weeks before NBA free agency starts.
Right, so around the corner. You know, I'm going to tell you another guy they're going to pick up, the Lakers are going to pick up. Just an opinion. Watch him pick up Brook Lopez from the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and that's the thing. There's so many options, guys who are free agents. I mean, Brook Lopez, I mean, he's a California guy, played at Stanford.
Fit right in with them. He's a big, galumpy player in the middle that can do it all.
Yeah, and he can shoot.
Yep.
I mean, who would have thought that he would have shot the three ball the way he did when he was at Stanford?
Incredible.
But, it's going to be interesting. I'll be curious to see what the Lakers do. I mean, the reality is the NBA is better when the Lakers are good. Right, it's more interesting because you bring out the haters. I'm one. I've never been a Laker fan. I always root against them, but I want to see them in that playoff. You know, where there's a reason to dislike them. I'm not the guy who hates a team when they're down. It's like, there's no fun in that. I want to root against them when they're good. And I think a lot of people feel that way. There's nothing to root against when they suck.
No, I agree. I mean, I liked the Lakers years ago when Magic Johnson was on the team for obvious reasons, but the Lakers, it is good for the NBA when the Lakers are good. It's good for the NBA when the Celtics are good. It would be good for the NBA if the Knicks could ever get good. When you get a major market that plays well, a major television market, it helps out the sport, it helps out the city, and it's just good in general. And, of course, those are two of the biggest markets, so it's always good when they're good. Chris, morphing over and using this NBA Finals, you know, I even thought when the Warriors were down 3-1 that maybe they could come back, and I knew when Kuzma blew out his knee the way he did and tried to come back that that was the end of it for him. Had they found a way to win Game 6, there was no way they were going back to Toronto to win Game 7. But some things we learned in the NBA Finals and throughout the playoffs, like a guy like Pascal Siakam, I mean, how valuable of a player did he turn out to be? I don't know. Matter of fact, I do know. I don't think the Raptors win the NBA title without Siakam.
No. The other thing you learn from watching the NBA Finals is you don't have to have a team of lottery picks from big-time universities to win an NBA title.
Fred Van Vliet, baby. Yeah, big was he?
That's just it, right? Undrafted.
Yeah.
Wichita State. Siakam went to New Mexico State. Yeah. Kawhi Leonard, San Diego State. You know, the thing is, if you look up and down the Raptors roster, yeah, they had guys who were
Danny Green, another one.
He went to North Carolina, yeah, but
he was not a player that was counted on, and now he's a highly touted free agent.
He wasn't a star player.
No.
Kyle Lowry, yeah, he went to Villanova, but again, he wasn't a lottery pick. No. I mean, I think he was the 20th pick, and he was at Villanova at a time when Villanova wasn't an elite program. He was there when they were in that 20 to 25 range.
No, I agree.
You know, so he wasn't a at Villanova when they were winning national titles. I mean, that's the thing. You look at their roster. You even look at their coach, Nick Nurse. He's a guy, he came from the G League. I think he coached in Europe. Their GM, Masai Ujiri, came from Nigeria. You know, it's just
how much stock did Nurse's stock go up just a little bit this year?
Well, Ujiri's as well, right? Yeah. Because he was the one who pulled the trigger. Yeah. I mean, think about it. That guy, he went all in, right? Like he made the two moves that at the time, had this not worked out, probably would have cost him his job. The first move was they fired Dwayne Casey, who was the reigning coach of the year, right? It's not like he was an average coach. I mean, he was coach of the year.
He was.
And they fired him because they felt
to win.
He couldn't win. They trade their superstar player, DeMar DeRozan. They trade him for Kawhi Leonard, who there was no guarantee was going to re-sign.
Yeah. So, they were getting him for 1 year as far as everybody thought at that time.
And everybody kind of said that. Oh, well, if this doesn't work out, guess what? It did work out. The Toronto Raptors have etched their names and themselves in NBA history. They will always be an NBA champ. And I hate the fact that people are still talking about the injuries. Look, you know what? Toronto did what they needed to do to win this series.
Yep.
They controlled the things that they could control. They had no. It's not like they went out and intentionally injured guys. I mean, freak accidents happen. I mean, the play where Klay Thompson got hurt was horrible.
Yeah, it was.
Because you could tell as soon as he went down, something wasn't right.
Well, Durant too. I mean, Durant should have never been back in the game, and that's the bottom line. It wasn't his calf. It was his Achilles, and they should have known that all along, because when you're playing on a damaged Achilles, some fiber tears, you're just an accident waiting to happen. Well, that's exactly what happened to him.
Right? Like, I heard people saying when he injured the calf that they initially thought it was an Achilles because he responded as if it was an Achilles injury. You know, they say you turn around because you feel like you got kicked in the back of the leg.
Oh.
And that's what it looked like. And, you know, unfortunately this is the really crappy part. You have to start wondering, what's the future for Kevin Durant, right? I mean, he's a 7-footer. He's not as big as DeMarcus Cousins, but DeMarcus Cousins, he hasn't exactly come back from the Achilles injury.
No.
You know, he's not Kobe Bryant.
Boogie's has not been the same player.
Kobe tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
So
end of his career, though.
Yeah.
Had
he torn it
early on,
five or 6 years into his career,
who knows?
How does he respond? Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things. You just don't know. But how much does it hurt Kevin Durant's stock? You know, what happens to him now in free agency? Because he went from being the most coveted free agent to a guy who, at this point, you really don't know. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I think it means he stays in Golden State.
Well, I don't think that's a reach. I think he stays in Golden State, because, and Klay Thompson might as well.
Because I mean,
both those guys are going to be sitting out next season for the most part.
And Curry's already taken less money.
Yep.
Here's the thing. Those two guys, they have to feel like there's unfinished business.
Oh, for sure.
And I don't think those guys will be satisfied only winning a couple of titles and going out the way they did.
No, I agree with you 100%. I think that they will be back. I think that team's going to stay for the most part intact. But again, they will be without, and the NBA will be without those players, I would imagine, for the majority of the 2019-2020 season. Both tragic injuries. You know, really, Durant's happened in the first round of the playoffs, but, you know, the actual tear came in the finals. And, of course, Klay Thompson, to go down in game six like that, man, it was terrible. Hard to watch, and the amazing, he comes back on the floor and hits two free throws with a torn ACL. I mean, you got to be pretty tough then. He had a lot of adrenaline going, that's for damn sure. Listen, we got a lot more to talk about. We'll have Alan Snell on the other side. We've got the Aviators report. I definitely want to talk a little bit about those St. Louis Blues and David Perron. How cool is that? And again, we did have a heavyweight championship fight go on. And of course, the U.S. Open. Once again, happy Father's Day to everyone out there. You're listening to Out of Line of Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Now, Chris, what a great series that was, and I'm not going to keep harping on the prediction because, again, you know, it was something that I just thought it was a perfect storm. I thought when Craig Berube took over the worst team in hockey, the way they came on in the second half of the season and to get themselves into the postseason, him and the team to have a confidence in a rookie goaltender, granted 25 years old, but Binnington, what a tremendous job he did between the pipes. I mean, the saves he made in Game 6 alone were spectacular. I mean, the guy continuously bailed out the St. Louis Blues. In the first period of that game against Boston in Game 7, they were completely outplayed, and yet they ended the first period ended 2-0, and the Blues were completely outplayed in the first period, and it was really a pleasure to see. And of course, David Perron getting an assist on the fourth goal in the game, and what an incredible season and postseason. Perron had 16 points, Chris, I think 7 goals. How incredibly cool was it to see a guy like David Perron, somebody you and I both liked a great deal last year, have that kind of success, and the Blues to win their first ever Stanley Cup?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, obviously, the Golden Knights can't be there. You're happy to see a guy who you built the relationship with while he was a member of the Golden Knights win the Cup, and apparently David Perron was seen shirtless in a nightclub downing beer following the Blues return to St. Louis. By the way, the Blues are apparently in Las Vegas right now as a team celebrating. So the Raptors stopped here on their way back to Toronto for a couple days, and now St. Louis flew in last night to celebrate. So
that's awesome.
You know, for those who don't think that players want to come to Vegas, these guys love this city. For a variety of reasons, they like coming here. But the other thing is, there's so many options for these guys who have unbelievable amounts of money to spend it on. And I think as a city, we shouldn't hide from that. We should embrace that. And I think when the day comes that we get an NBA franchise, this will be one of the marquee destinations in all the NBA.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. The one that's going to take a while, and I've heard Ed Graney talk about it before, is baseball is going to take a while. And the reason
I don't want baseball here. Well, it's my favorite sport to go watch live. I love baseball, but
it'll be here, Chris. It'll be here. Right now, they're 40 market, but we're 10 years away from baseball.
I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Yeah, 10 years, because the bottom line is, Las Vegas doesn't have as much money as you would think as far as being able to invest in professional franchise. It's only the number 40 market in the country And for the 40 market, we've already got two now professional teams. And eventually, I think within the next 3 to 5 years, for sure, we're going to have basketball. Adam Silver is a huge fan of Las Vegas, much more so than David Stern was. And basketball will be here as well. Baseball is going to take a while because funding of a Major League Baseball stadium is going to require public funding. And I'll tell you what, the public just agreed to that $750 million stadium. They're not going to agree to another stadium being built in Vegas of that magnitude for quite some time.
Yeah, and the thing is, as far as the Blues, they deserve to win the series. You know, there was nothing fluky about them winning.
No.
I thought Boston was the better team, but you know what? St. Louis made the plays when they needed to. They fought back the adversity. I mean, this was a team, again, they had really nothing to lose. But once you get into that championship game, a lot of times, Cinderella goes away.
Oh, the glass slipper breaks,
it strikes
man.
Midnight.
I know.
But for St. Louis, they had the hand pass against San Jose that they fought
back.
Well,
that's what I'm going to say. So much adversity, the blowout, when Boston blew them out, they could have, and they kept recovering, Chris. They kept believing. Well, but really,
St. Louis lost game 6 at home.
I know.
They got crushed.
I know, which is a kill. And remember I said when I was saying that Jordan Binnington might be stupid enough, for lack of a better term, because he hasn't been in this position before, to be able to keep bouncing back. This guy, I mean, he made one save, Chris, in the second period that I didn't know the human body was capable of doing the splits like that. I mean, it was every drop of watching a gymnast in the Olympics. I mean, he was completely spread apart with those huge goaltender pads on and stopped. And we saw him do things like that throughout the playoffs. Tuukka Rask is no joke. This is a guy who's won a Stanley Cup, has been there and played pretty well himself, but really the key was him and the other guy that I said, no question about it, the guy who won the Conn Smythe Trophy, Ryan O'Reilly. Talk about a guy whose stock skyrocketed. This guy had a tremendous season, 77 points in the regular season, and turns around, has 16 in the postseason, 23 points in the postseason. Unbelievable. This guy Chris seemed to find a puck to redirect every other game. He would, and a six goal or a six game point streak, something that I think only has been done once before, Chris, in Stanley Cup Finals history. And you know who was done by? Mark Messier, the only other guy that had six game point streak in the Stanley Cup Finals. Pretty incredible task. And Ryan O'Reilly, very deserving of the Conn Smythe. And this is a guy right now that, I mean, if he's not on the Blues, you know, just as I said with Pascal not being on the Toronto Raptors, if Ryan O'Reilly isn't on the Blues, they don't win the series.
Well, obviously. I mean, they probably don't even make the playoffs without Ryan O'Reilly.
Oh, my God, what a year.
You know, I mean, the guy is up for, I can't remember what award he's up for next week at the NHL Awards, but we'll have a chance to talk to him. He's probably going to stay in town. He probably isn't even heading home. I mean, he came in last night. He's probably going to be here throughout the awards because that's obviously on Wednesday. But, you know, I mean, St. Louis, look, what else can you say? It's a great story. Craig Berube, the guy just knew what strings he needed to pull. He understood how to get the best out of his players. Jordan Binnington, fourth on the depth chart going into the season. And David Perron, I don't know how you could have rooted against the Blues if you're a Golden Knights fan. I mean, unless you're from Boston, I think the world was probably rooting for St. Louis.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it was an incredible scene. Amazing. They sold out Busch Stadium, I guess they had sold out.
Yeah, the Enterprise Center was full.
And like they said, in like 20 minutes, it sold out to view the game at the Enterprise Center. Pretty incredible. Listen, we are going to take our second break. We're going to come back. We've got the Aviators Report. We got Blazin. We got Alan Snell on the other side, all after this.
Buffalo Wild Wings is America's favorite spot for wings, beer, and sports. And after listening to Add a Line, there's absolutely no better place in Las Vegas to watch your favorite sporting event than Buffalo Wild Wings at the 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Plaza. You'll be watching every game on projection and flat screen, strategically placed so you don't miss a play. Dig into their world-famous wings covered in your choice of Buffalo Wild Wings sauces. Or check out the menu where there's plenty of appetizers and entrees that will conquer any game day appetite. If you have what it takes to hang all day and through the night games, you'll you'll get to experience two happy hours featuring several appetizers reduced to only $4 and great beer and drink specials. And during football season, Out of Line's Brian Feldman will be there to host the best Monday night football party in town. Get there early, grab a seat, and order the food and drink specials to get raffle tickets to win NFL replica jerseys, wing parties, and much more. Prizes are given away before, during, and after the games. Buffalo Wild Wings in the Montecito Plaza at 215 in North Durango. The only place to go in Las Vegas for wings, beer, and sports.
Contractor license number 007-9414, 007-9415.
I think I know why Ken Goodrich hired me to run his plumbing company.
This is Zach Hunt.
It's because he grew up holding a flashlight for his daddy, and I grew up holding a pipe wrench for my grandfather, Papaw. He was a hell of a plumber.
I wish I could have met him.
You would have liked him, Ken, and he would have liked you. I remember one night, it was about 9:30 when the phone rang, and Papaw hung up and said, "We got to go." So I jumped in the truck, and Papaw told me we were heading across town to fix a plumbing job because one of his men had taken a shortcut.
He didn't do it the right way?
No, he did it the easy way. He got fired the next day. So anyway, while we were fixing what the other guy half-assed, Papaw said, "Zach, integrity is free, so every person ought to have it. And when you do the right thing when no one's looking, that's called ethics."
You're right, Zach. That is why I hired you to run Gettle Plumbing.
I appreciate the job, Ken.
Gettle.
G-O-E-T-T-L. Dang, that's hard to spell.
An auto policy from State Farm gets you collision coverage. And this radio ad from State Farm gets you coverage of this beloved 90s hit.
I hit a car. I hit a car. I hit a car.
For more coverage, visit statefarm.com.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why, this is why, this is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why.
It is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. It is a long field goal away from Centennial Hills Hospital, maybe a long home run. And they've got two happy hours every day, and they are also America's favorite place, as you know, for wings, beer, and sports. We're up there every Monday night during football season, hosting the best Monday night football party in Las Vegas, giving away wing parties, replica jerseys, all kinds of cool stuff as well. And real quickly, Blazin', man, I got to give it to a guy named Yordan Alvarez. If you haven't heard of this dude, he is on fire. The Cuban slugger for the Houston Astros is the first player with four home runs in his first five big league games since Trevor Story did it for the Colorado Rockies back in 2016. Story hit six in the first five games. But how cool is that to four home runs in the first five games of your Major League Baseball career? That is pretty cool, and that is Blazin'. Also Blazin', man, there's a kid with the last name of Flowers playing for Florida State, a team that shouldn't even be in the College World Series in Omaha. They were one of the final four teams to get into the postseason playoffs, won their way through the regional, the super regional, and here they are. They play Arkansas. They win a 1-0 shutout yesterday. Flowers scores the only run of the game, gets a base hit, and by the way, he is the closer drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates as a pitcher. So he comes in after playing the entire game in center field, and he does this all the time, comes in and closes the game as their closer and maintains the 1-0 shutout. They'll play U of M, another surprise Cinderella team, to make it to Omaha, who knocked off who the hell did they beat yesterday? I want to say they didn't beat was it Arkansas? No.
Florida State beat Arkansas. Michigan beat Texas Tech.
That's right. They beat Texas Tech, and the two of them meet tomorrow night, which is pretty cool. Well, let's also Blazin', a good friend of mine, a guy who has just built a brand here in the last 2 years in Vegas, written a book, and we're up to over 200,000 readers now for lvsportsbiz.com. The guy does an incredible job. Had a four-part podcast series last week that included Kerry Buchholz of the Vegas Golden Knights, also the owner of the Las Vegas Lights, and Dana White was on as well, talking about the future of the UFC and something going on right down at Jones in the 215 in their center. Alan Snell joining the show, and fresh off yesterday at the Las Vegas Aviators ballpark, the Las Vegas ballpark for the big cancer charity game, and today, of course, off of another long early morning bike ride. What's going on, Alan?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm so damn good. I can hardly stand it, man. It's a Sunday morning in Vegas, Father's Day. I get to spend some time with the kids later on today. It's all good, brother. How was your ride this morning?
It was awesome. We're gifted here in Las Vegas with some amazing natural resources. The Red Rock Loop is stunning. I'll probably head up to Mount Charleston later. And I guess we're lucky we have all these resources, but we're also lucky because I'm not quite sure the word is out about how beautiful these places are in terms of other, you know, other people in other parts of the country knowing about it, which is good because it's still still manageable up at these gorgeous places.
That's cool you get to do it, and I love seeing Facebook, man. Every week I get, like, these artistic pictures, and they're Alan from his camera on the awesome rides that he takes all the time, man, which is cool. Alan's like that dude in the Liberty Mutual commercials with the custom-made calves, man, from riding his bike so much. Real quick, part of what I wanted to do was also the Las Vegas Aviators report while we're here. Alan, again, you were out yesterday for the charity game. Really, really cool to see a lot of the Raiders in town, old and new, and of course a chance for everyone to get up close and personal with the Golden Knights. What a great idea and what a great way to raise money to fight cancer.
Yeah, you know, just to take a step back and just kind of give it some perspective, you know, 2 years ago, the Golden Knights players were selected from teams around the league. The Raiders Stadium is, you know, just getting off and running. And 2 years later, now just last night, the Aviators ballpark was not even, the dirt wasn't even moved 2 years ago. And here we are 2 years later where you have these Golden Knight players that have won over this community. Then you have the Raiders players who are, you know, there's people still getting to know them, some old players, some new players, the new rookies. And then the Aviators ballpark is the setting. It's just this surreal convergence of just how stunning the changes have been here in our market.
No, it's incredible. And again, $150 million minor league ballpark. I mean, when the average ballpark, I think, is $75 million, maybe $100 million. And they went all out. I mean, this is a shrunken down version of a major league ballpark. I tell everyone, if you haven't been out there to see this place yet, you are really seriously missing out. You'll get a chance as the Aviators come back to town this Thursday. They've got a couple more games in Memphis. I think three more. They play again today at 12. And then a late afternoon game tomorrow in Memphis. And then on Wednesday night, they've got a game there, and then they head back here to play Sacramento for $2 beer night on Thursday, and they've got the big firework display going on up at the Las Vegas ballpark against Sacramento on Friday, and of course Finn the Bat Dog bobblehead night next Saturday. So Finn the Bat Dog, man, is becoming quite iconic here in Las Vegas, and you get a chance to get a Finn the Bat Dog bobblehead. Appreciate all the Las Vegas Aviators do for this community and what they're doing right now, and having hosting that ball game there was really, really cool last night. Alan, really quickly, before I let you, I want to talk about the podcast. I think the series was awesome, captivating, really, really cool. And how cool was it to get to sit down with Dana White and talk to him one-on-one for an hour?
Right. Just to explain things, I launched the four podcast series to celebrate LV Sports Biz's second anniversary. As you mentioned, we have 210,000 readers since our launch in 2017 in June. And just to clarify something, Brian, actually the first podcast was with Brian Killingsworth, the chief marketing officer of the Golden Knights, not Kerry Bubos, the president. And also, like you said, Dana White came in, and I've known Dana since my reporting days at the Review Journal. You know, he's obviously a very colorful character, a ringmaster style personality, but the one thing which I think is, if you want to use the word endearing about with a guy like Dana, is that he is genuine in terms of just talking to people one-on-one, no matter who, what your background is. And I think the fact that he came to Las Vegas, worked as a trainer for 5 years, worked on, you know, to start his own gyms, start his own training business, he's one guy who, you can say, hasn't really forgotten where he's come from. I mean, he has catapulted UFC to a business that was sold for more than $4 billion in 2016. And he is just, a lot of people can relate to him. You know, a lot of times he shows up and he's basically, in jeans with holes in them and a T-shirt, just like everyone else. And you know, there's a seamless relationship he has with everyday fans. I think that's the secret sauce behind him.
No, you know, the UFC has been an unbelievable brand. The only issue that I've had, Alan, for some time is I just believe that the fighters are underpaid. I think that the top makes all the money, and these guys, and I'm also very curious to see in 20 years what kind of CTE damage is going to be done to UFC fighters, because I've often said, what do you think is more damaging? Two football players running into each other with protective headgear on, or a shin bone to the side of the head with no protective gear on? And
There has been some talk afoot in the last few years about a union being formed. Obviously, if you know the history of UFC, between Dana White and the Fertittas and the culinary union, you know, there's not exactly a what would you say, kind of a pro-union approach to things by UFC after their dealings with the culinary union. So, you know, you've raised an issue in terms of the fighter pay, and, you know, that's obviously been out there. I mean, there are people who recognize that as a issue.
Well, I mean, it cost the UFC Brock Lesnar in the prime of his career, where he could go make more money wrestling than he could in the UFC. And I mean, you know, it just, like I said, I'd like to sit down myself with Dana White and see where this is going, because it is so tremendously profitable of a business, and they could share more with the fighters, and maybe there's more that I don't know on the business end, Alan, where there is some type of incentive or retirement plans for these guys, because again, we're not going to know the long-term effects of fighting in the octagon for another 20 years. And because
they have 600 people signed under contract on their roster, I believe they're considered independent contractors. So, but you know, they do stress that they do have the Performance Institute, where the fighters can get training and medical, treatment and such. And, you know, their big news is that they're actually opening a new production studio tomorrow. In fact, on Monday, Dana White's going to give a
yeah, it's a media. He's got a media thing going on tomorrow, right?
To come out to Apex. What's that?
He's something with the media. He's invited out tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, Dana White's giving the tour tomorrow afternoon. It's called the Apex, and kind of a big deal. You know, one of the reasons why UFC sold for more than $4 billion, and it's something that doesn't really get a lot of attention, is that they produce a lot of their own original programming, and they're excellent at controlling the message, shaping the message, getting it out there, and it's definitely consistent with their strategy to have this. I believe it's a 120,000 square foot production studio and kind of a mini arena where they will have everything from concerts to the Dana White shows being produced right in the studio there. And they might even have other promotion fight events in there as well. And let's face it, you mentioned their revenue. There is no other fight promotion organization on earth that does better at monetizing their product. Plain and simple, they create this spectacle kind of environment. They're putting on like this big over-the-top show years, you know, before the Vegas Golden Knights showed up with their shows, with their hockey games, and you can't deny that UFC knows how to monetize the fight game.
Oh, no question about it. Dana White is a marketing genius. I'll say that all along. He is Alan Snell. He is the main man behind LVSportsBiz.com. 210,000 people strong. Join. Check out the website, man. Support his journalism. You can go to the website again, www.LVSportsBiz.com. And also, check out Alan's book, Long Road Back to Las Vegas. It is motivational. It is informative. And I really enjoy it. And we're all blessed and thankful that Alan came through that. If you read the book, you'll know what I'm talking about, and is here with us in Las Vegas. And again, Alan, just a tremendous job in the last few years of creating a great brand, man. Appreciate you, and appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, thanks so much. It's always a joy to talk with you guys, no doubt.
All right, Alan Snell, and we'll definitely have him on again. Check out lvsportsbiz.com. If you want to know the business side of sports and everything going on here in Vegas, that is the place to check it out. Real quickly, running down the last couple minutes of the show, Chris, and I did want to mention the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. Pretty strong right now. This guy, Gary Woodland, man, every time you think he's in trouble, he hits a bomb. I mean, two bombs to save par yesterday. And the question everyone's asking me yesterday night, can this guy win the U.S. Open? He's never been a 54-hole leader at a major. And matter of fact, the last three leaders at the U.S. Open, Chris, that have led by one shot have all lost. But can he win? Here's the reason I think he can. Number one, this week, we're not talking about his history. This week, he's in the top five of greens hit in regulation. He's in the top five in putting, and he's been able to hit key shots when he's needed to do it. He's really showed, and really, he showed that on 12 and 14 yesterday. It was incredible with unbelievable par saves. But the biggest reason, Chris, why I think he can do it, if people don't remember, he got a chance just last year to play in the final major on Sunday with Tiger Woods at the PGA Championship when Tiger was in contention. Chris, you've seen it many times, and so have I. When Tiger is in contention, it is so difficult to concentrate if you are the other guy playing with them because they don't give a crap about you. All they want to do is see Tiger Woods, especially if you're Gary Woodland. Who the hell's he? Can you imagine what he went through? And yet, Tiger finished second in the PGA. Woodland never faulted. No one knows this. He finished sixth. That experience, I think, will bode well today in at Pebble Beach. And another reason I think it'll bode well is because, again, he has played so cool, calm, and collective over the first 54 holes. But again, you've got Justin Rose nipping at your heels, one stroke back, a guy that's won the U.S. Open, and Brooks Koepka. I know he's four strokes back. He's never come from four strokes behind in a major to win it, but he probably has the most solid, consistent game on the PGA Tour right now. And I think four strokes back is very reachable for a guy like Koepka, who, if there was ever a term that's overused, it's ice water in their veins. But tell me, when this guy's playing and he's on, that he doesn't have ice water in his veins.
Well, Brooks Koepka, I think, is a guy who you can't sleep on, obviously, because of the fact that he's won the last two U.S. Opens. But I'm not really sure, you know. I mean, Ricky Fowler was up there for a little bit, and he seems to have fallen off. It's really, I think, wide open, right? And there's a lot of guys up at the top of the leaderboard who really...
Louis Oosthuizen, who's birdied three of the last four holes to get in contention.
I mean, the average golf fan probably doesn't know who a lot of these guys are outside of Brooks Koepka. So, I mean, Tiger is way off the pace. What is he, in 27th or something like that? So he's not going to win this thing.
Phil's not winning it.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, it's a wide open final Saturday or Sunday, and I think a lot of people, this is kind of what they sign up for with the U.S. Open. They want to be able to sit there and watch a good tournament on Father's Day.
That'll be nice. Matt Kuchar, probably the best player to not win a major, is up there. He is starting at 5 under, which is 6 strokes off the lead. Might be too far back to get it. Also want to let you know, the Las Vegas Aces taking on the Lynx, a team that did beat them in the preseason. That game is today, I believe, at 12 noon, right? 12 noon on the East Coast. They're playing, and also, again, the Aviators back in town come this Thursday, so you don't want to miss them either. And, of course, the fight last night, I said I was going to mention it. I will. It was a good fight, man. Tyson Fury beat the living crap out of Tom Schwartz.
Guy landed six punches.
Yeah, I mean, but the bottom line is, like I said, it's hard for me to get into the boxing right now because I look at a guy like Tyson Fury, comes out, tries to be the Apollo Creed, and this guy would get his ass kicked by Mike Tyson, by any of the old great fighters. Hey, listen to this out of line. We're out of time. I'm Brian Feldman. We'll see ya.
Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and